Shut up. The foot is on Triple M.
Tools down.
That's it. What a week it's been.
Radio on.
You don't want to miss this.
Triple M footy roars into the weekend.
That is an absolute ripper.
Here we go.
This is the Friday Huddle.
Please reply quickly to texting drivers. A message from the TAC.
For Reap Hot Water at McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Oh, yes. Welcome along to the Friday Huddle. Hope you've had an absolutely fantastic week. And it is only going to get better over the next hour and a half as we lead up to the Blues. Enormous game for the Blues taking on the Sydney Swans at the SCG. A lot to get through. 11th versus 14th. We have got a big name guest to join us to discuss footy and all sorts of things. There's a lot happening in the show. Unfortunately, we are one down, but it's not our captains. I look across at Luke Darcy. He is here. He's in attendance and he's ready to go. Hello to you.
Great to see you, Howie. Great to be with the team on the Friday Huddle on a Friday night, which I always love. And I saw something quite extraordinary this week, Howie, that you sent me. And I'm still perplexed. And I don't know where to go with it, Howie, or if we're talking about that or not.
I didn't send you anything.
You didn't send me anything. Okay, no. That just appeared in my phone. I'll take that back. Wasn't Howie.
Send you anything. No,
someone
we're not.
Someone must have magically
I saw it too.
No, we're not. Hello to you,
I'm getting waved off everywhere.
Hello to you,
Nathan Brown. A righteous man like myself is always happy, Howard.
So it's
been a great... What?
Did you send that to
No, me? I did not send it to you. You know who sent it to you, and it was that man over there, the skinniest one in here.
I didn't send anything like that.
We'll discuss it next week when the Chief's back.
Will we?
Well, the Chief's not here. The Chief's not here, which we'll get to, but I look across at my man who's gone on to his own little series of private gigs this week. I'm told Damo is now hosting intimate functions with big name guests just over dinner and a steak and a red wine, and our man runs the whole thing.
Demo, can you?
You can hire a demo.
Exclusive.
It must have been why it's not... is the dimmer exclusive. Because Tommy Morris got it, and then Tommy Brown was on the podium because there was an article today saying that he had it. It slipped through his fingers, Tommy Brown. He had it. He didn't have enough
Tommy
to go
Brown.
With.
Where was Damo?
Well, that's what I'm asking. Where was he, our man?
What you're saying gigs. Is these little private corporate functions have taken away his ability
too
to break
too much time
news.
With Hutchie, I would have thought.
Hello to you, Damien.
Hello, Harold. Just on that, as Kel Toomey aptly pointed out during the week, if you miss it, everyone's coming last after that. That was an annihilation by Tommy Morris during the week. So well done to him.
And this little function, were you at the function when the story broke? Is that how you missed it?
No, this was about 3 days after I missed it. Yeah,
okay.
This was.
Well, Nath, you're our money man. So I've got my 20 corporate mates. We're booking a nice restaurant. We've got dinner dars at Melbourne Public.
Yep.
We got some nice red wine or whatever you're into. And you get
a high-end corporate.
Okay, a high-end corporate. You get a big guest, like, for instance, Craig Bellamy.
They get much bigger than that.
Just throw you the
just
Melbourne Storm
example,
legend.
That's
as
legend.
An example.
As an example. Private gig for Craig Bellamy, that's $20,000.
No, okay.
For Craig,
But what about for the MC that has to oil everything and make it go smoothly and get the best out of the guests?
No,
what's
I was
Damo
just there to steer Craig. Yeah. Oh, sorry, if it might have been Craig.
I've seen Damo MC at a grand final function. He had to actually... request people to just hang on a minute, everyone. I just need to get these things
out. Oh, that
out.
One, yeah.
Can you just, can you just settle down a little bit, everybody?
Please, babe. So what are you paying Damo?
So what's Damo? For those that might be interested in a corporate retreat with Damo.
$500.
$500?
I did it for absolutely nothing, and the club, someone gave me a bottle of wine on the way out, and a North jumper as well.
Is that why you missed the dimmer story?
No, that was 2 days earlier when I should have got it, yes.
Where's Chief?
I had no inkling of that.
Where's Chief?
Chief is occupied from what I believe.
Where is he?
He's got stuff going on everywhere.
Is he wearing one of his 12 aftershaves so he couldn't make it in? What's he doing?
He's running all sorts of programs, Chief. I would hate to hazard a guess as to what he may
We have
or
to talk about
to.
It. It's a thing he's not here tonight. We have to talk about
well,
it.
Well, courageously, if he's not here, we probably will, Damo.
Well, we haven't been able to talk about it all year. And now that he's not here, what's stopping us?
He's warned all of us off is what he's done,
can't,
Chief.
We can't.
We can talk about what you sent.
No, we can't talk about that.
Why can't we talk
we
about
can't
that?
Talk about that.
Well, Dars opened up, and you may as well speak about it now, Harry, because the cat's out of the bag.
No.
Or the dog's out of the bag.
No, we're not. Well, Chief will be here next week.
Little
you
dogs
can,
out
if
of the
you're
bag.
Courageous, you can talk
I
about
didn't
it
know
with
he
Chief.
Had pets.
Didn't think he was an animal lover, Chief.
Can you describe what we saw?
No, Damien. We can't.
Why not?
Well,
why not?
Okay.
It was public.
He was out in public, walking a couple of small pooches.
He was walking two dogs.
He was.
Little ones.
Oh, two dogs chief, they call him.
I didn't know he had pets. I thought he hated everything.
Same here.
And he's just this man with two tiny little dogs walking in a park.
In a strange.
And his outfit was
Describe what he was wearing, bizarre. Chief, in this photo.
So he had tights on.
When I said, should we go there? I didn't actually think we were.
See, my belief is that...
I thought we weren't going to go.
Grown men don't wear tights. Nate, I would have thought that that's...
I reckon that
when
was...
When you get to Chief's age, tights are not part of the... there's a whole heap of layers to this.
Nate's panicking now because he realised he's wandered into an area he shouldn't and he's worried about the same age. I didn't send the photo, though, coming his way.
Das, I reckon that was AI, that thing we saw, though. I think it was...
Computer-generated.
Yeah, I don't think what we saw was actually what happened.
GPT has done a fantastic
job,
man.
So you saw a photo of Chief. Describe the photo now that you brought it up.
The one you sent me.
Can we ask where you got it from, Ellie? Because that is
a big story.
Backstory.
How did you get that?
That is unbelievable.
But he had tights on. He had shorts over the tights. He had tights on his arms and a big T-shirt over his arms.
What appeared to be... Sorry, on that T-shirt appeared to be a naked lady. I'll just call him what I saw on the photo.
All the things I saw, I didn't see that. Okay. So.
But in this photo, like a Rottweiler or a German Shepherd, or what was he rolling with?
I would describe it as a white, very small Paris Hilton style
Like a handbag
dog.
One. Not the 1254. I can't believe this.
How that photo managed to come to light, because he would be, right now, Chief would either be clubbing me in the back of the head. He walked out. He would have thrown the toys at it because he gets very upset about these
conversations,
Chief. I'm
just saying, it has nothing to do with me.
But if it was a photo
even...
of me, I would expect you to go after it. That's why.
Well, we had a big week, and apparently the Chief was out for a walk, but we were all convened this week by our producer, who was a little bit flat last week that we talked about the fact that he hadn't contributed to the show. So we've got the big dodgeball tournament coming up, and he... respect to our man Tunners, he organised a one-on-one with one of the absolute stars of dodgeball, a lady by the name of Missy Pyle. She's starred in nearly 200 movies, TV shows. So Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. You put off breaking the story
I was chasing up the story I didn't break.
Exactly right. Nate Gay.
As in Damien Hardwick.
Nate,
I wasn't there.
I cut short of surf. And
I drove into Triple M headquarters and was told, mate, you're letting the team down. Cancelled an important meeting, Howie.
But the Chief was on there,
the
too.
The Chief was there. But as a team, Missy was apparently given the wrong time as to when she was meant to be there. So it wasn't Missy's fault. And there's a little bit of audio that came from the Zoom meeting while we're waiting for Missy, and it's apparent she's not going to be there, and our man might have wasted our time. And all I can say is we're a very, very supportive environment here at the Friday Huddle.
Is this actually going to happen, Lugie, or are we just standing around like spare
dicks? Chief, I'm not in LA, mate. I don't know.
No, but...
Didn't you organise it?
Your role is producer, yes. Which is...
I organised it, and all I can say is she confirmed, and Rosie has seen the correspondence. I can't do any more than that. She's got me to fly over there. She's just obviously busy.
I think you f***ed this up, Snorkel, was my sense.
Got a real bad smell about it, hasn't it?
Mate, he's made all of us stop everything you're doing. This is the biggest event ever in Friday Huddle history, and no one supports me. You need to come and turn up at this, mate. I've been sitting here for half an hour.
That's the type of team we are here.
I didn't know that was going to, but fair enough, too. When you've been dragged across town.
The big nose producer.
And you sit there, Howie,
and
he says, this is our biggest moment and doesn't front up. We're allowed to deliver some feedback. Feedback's a gift, Howie.
So unfortunately, we don't have an interview with Missy, which is the really disappointing thing, because we would have loved to chat dodgeball with her, but because the times were given wrong by our producer to Missy, she wasn't there, so we don't have that.
Well, boys, Missy actually rang back and asked to go one-on-one with our man.
So we do have
Missy.
With our man who?
The one-on-one Australia's most eligible bachelor.
Oh. Missy Pyle, an absolute privilege to have a bit of your time today. Thank you very, very much.
I'm so excited to be here.
Now,
dodgeball.
For dodgeball fans out there that might or might not remember Missy Pyle's character, here's Ben Stiller talking about it.
Meet Fran Stalinaskovich Davidovitsky. In her home country of Romanovia, dodgeball is the national sport, and her nuclear power plant's team won the championship 5 years running. Which makes her the deadliest woman on Earth with a dodgeball. Ball me, Blazer. Show them, Fran. That's just a changeup.
Now, obviously, your character was one of the greats. And let me, I hope I get this right. Fran Stalinovskovich Davidovitsky. Is that right?
I mean, it's pretty close, yeah. I had always thought it was Stan Stalinovskovich Davidovitsky, but, you know, it's hard to say.
Now, what about practicing to play dodgeball? Did you get smashed in a practice game?
I did. I think Justin Long threw a ball and hit me right in the face. And I was furious. And I threw my neck out before we even started, but still the deadliest
person. Okay. We have got a game coming up, the Triple M team taking on an all-star team. What are the most important things for us to remember heading into this game?
I mean, you've got to remember that this is a game about hitting people with a ball. And if you want to win, I mean, you got to go for the vulnerable spots. You got to be a little dirty. You can't, it's a game that's already a little bit of a dirty game.
Well, we've got some interesting characters on our team. Our leader is Mark Howard, Howie we call him, who's a bit of a surfer, hippie sort of dude that loves to drop names and thinks he has the world's greatest podcast. But he's completely unathletic. So as a leader, I suspect he's not going to last long, is he?
Probably not. The other thing, he's also too tall. You can't be too tall to play this game. You also want to hide behind the tall people. So you throw and then you throw and then you duck.
Well, that's the Duke. That's he's the big, tall, lanky one. He's the only one that's actually played dodgeball. Believe you me, he's well known because he cleaned up a four-year-old child that walked onto the court and he thought he was fair game.
Listen, I mean, it sounds like he's willing to go to any length, so I'd watch out for him. But he's tall. He's going to be right away.
Maybe one of our best will be Brownie, who's vertically challenged, tiny arms and legs.
Yes. Because you can hide, duck, bob and weave, all of those things.
So real life, we're basically the average Joes and we're going against the Globo Gym team. Who would win in real life?
I mean, you know who would win in real life.
Yeah, so we haven't got much hope.
Well, I don't know. Who are these people? Are they?
They're younger and more athletic.
Oh.
Yeah, so we're in trouble. That says it all.
And again, you go out immediately. You go for the, you go for the nads. You go for the places you can get. You just go, you go, and then you retreat and you hide. You bob, you weave. I would say, just stay away from the floor because you might break a bone.
Yeah. Hey, Missy, thrilled that you could give us a bit of time. So grateful for it. Thank you for sharing a few laughs with us, and you've been fantastic.
Oh, thanks for having me. It was so much fun and I'm really excited to be here.
Missy with the Chief. I you can hear the words, but the one thing that stands out to me, Das, is the chemistry.
I'm not surprised you say that, Howie. He has got an unmissable charm, the Chief.
And when when he does that real cheap laugh.
Have you ever heard him laugh before?
Never. Never.
I heard he put all 12 aftershaves on. He was trying to get the smell
to float across to LA
through the microphone.
Well, so the interview was scheduled for 4 minutes, ran 29 and a half. So there's a lot you didn't hear.
27 more minutes of that glass.
Before we get to that, Howard, it's the last time we'd heard that on Triple M was when we replayed the famous tapes of Brian Taylor with, as he called her, Nadia Comaneci.
Correct. But so you haven't, there's a lot you haven't heard.
25
so
more minutes
I
left.
I picked up on the chemistry. Again, I haven't heard this. It's nothing to do with me. This is Tanner's idea.
Before you say that, we often reference, we'll do an interview dinner and the beautiful Erica will be there, the beautiful Janine Barrett, and we know Christina's just, and they all fall in love with the Chief.
They do.
Yeah. They just get charmed out of the room by the Chief.
Well, Beck Judd would, but she always...
She's a bit scared of being anywhere near Nate. It doesn't tend to come,
And if you want to know why people are charmed by the Chief, this is a little bit of what you didn't hear.
I hope I get this right. Fran Stalinovskovich Davidovitsky. Is that right?
I mean, it's pretty close, yeah. it's hard to say.
I want to be incredibly respectful. You're obviously an extremely attractive woman, and I'm sure you've been lauded for that over the years. But the flip side is you then became a really hideous character.
Put braids on my head and I drew in eyebrows for my audition and wore bright red lipstick, thinking like she tries, but you know. Well, clearly I'm just a girl who can't say no, obviously. Never really feels great to get hit in the face, let's be honest. When I was a senior in high school, I went to see Don Henley in concert, and I snuck out and like hung out with the band afterwards. I was grounded for like 3 months, but it was like that's some scary karma to have. I don't know.
Thank you so much, Missy. Really appreciate it.
You're so welcome, and have a wonderful, wonderful day.
You too.
Now, Missy is a star. She is all class. This is not a discussion about Missy, but now you've heard some of the outtakes. What about the fake laughing of our man? Just the overall
touch creepy. I describe that as extraordinary scenes from the Chief.
I don't know what to say.
Where is he tonight?
Why did we display that part? First 2.5 minutes is unbearable.
It's a good question.
Where is the Chief?
He's on Fox.
He won't be coming back.
I think he's on.
He's showed those photos.
He's halfway over Hawaii, heading to LA. I don't know where the Chief is.
It could be with Missy.
Chief's upset.
For all we know.
What about the chemistry demo?
Oh, it's unbelievable. And as I said, that fake cheap laugh, you know, when he goes down that path, he's
starting to feel for your safety, Howard, because I can see you over there. He's shriveling a little bit at the moment. You're throwing to everybody else. You're wanting everybody else to talk about the Chief.
I just think we've shown some real courage without the Chief in the room. And I just hope he never hears the first segment of this show back.
Because he threatens with proper violence, the Chief, and he's capable of following through.
He might cross town, actually, in about half an hour's time and just abandon Fox footy duties tonight.
I'm reflecting what we've done. I think we've made a massive error.
Fully supportive of our work tonight. For Ream Hot Water at McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Shut up! The footy's on the radio!
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's,
Triple M rocks footy.
That's it for TAC. This is the Triple M Friday huddle leading up to the Blues taking on the Swans in Sydney. Police reply quickly to texting drivers. A message from the TAC. We've dealt with the fact we're one man down without the Chief. But, gentlemen, today is a famous five-year anniversary in the history of this show.
For what, Howard?
5 years ago, we were all in a cab together, travelling to the SCG, and we're running a little bit late.
I remember this occasion very well.
And it led to the fact that Tom Brown and Juddy were in the commentary box together at the start of the show.
Because the Judd man used to sneak up there early. We don't know what he was doing.
He always had a Friday lunch, didn't he?
Yeah.
Weren't sure he actually had. But
dubious
there was a lot
behavior.
Of cash
so,
going
yeah,
through
so
envelopes.
You had Judd and Brown, which is not... It's not your committee or Benno type way to open the show.
Let's be honest. He can do a lot of things, C. Judd.
Yeah.
Very capable on a whole lot of areas. Hosting radio, probably.
Well, I think there was a camera in the box as well, and you know he wasn't a video operator.
TV wasn't his go. Let's be honest.
Back the media, let's be honest. No. So we were in the cab, and we asked the cabbie to turn it on to Triple M Sydney because we wanted to hear the way the judge built up this enormous game of Friday Night Football does.
And interesting to note that I don't think we've been back to Sydney since, have we?
We haven't. And just take particular note. I haven't heard this for many a year, but the way he describes the ladder positions for this big Friday night. So everyone's tuning in around the country to hear the Friday huddle, and we lead with 5CJ.
Oh, welcome to Triple M Footy at the Triple M SCG, brought to you by McDonald's. We've got an absolutely huge night tonight. We've got Essendon coming in at 11th place, taking on the last place Sydney Swans. A couple of big ins and outs, the biggest one of them, Joe Danaher. But before I go any further, I'm going to get to you, Tom Brown.
11th.
Coming in at 11th.
What kind of
race call he was going with there, Juddy?
The lowest rating show in the history of the Friday Huddle. Because people just turned off, Damo.
Tommy Brown to bail him out.
I also remember, too, Howie, that cab was actually closer to the ground than we led him to believe. Yes. And I think you actually said to the cabbie, just slow it down, mate. We want to leave him on his own for a while.
So to celebrate the five-year anniversary and to discuss all things dodgeball, the two-time Brownlow medalist, who is in Sydney
back
at the
in
moment.
Sydney.
Back in Sydney. Not hosting a media function, but he joins us on the line, the great Chris Judd. Juddy, welcome back to the Friday Huddle, a show you nearly finished off in the space of a minute and a half.
Well, it was a very long intro, Howard, for starters. But when I hear that
That sound, to be honest, I think it aged pretty well. And nothing like a junkyard dog battle of a couple of lowly placed competitors duking it out. You know, not dissimilar to Bell Chambers and Mooney last night. And I think it set the scene. I could sense the excitement in the viewers' heads. And I think it aged pretty well.
What are you doing in Sydney, Chris?
Flat out, mate. Flat out.
What are you doing?
Look, at the end of the day, I'm a helper, mate. All right? And I was brought into Triple M to help. Obviously, there was issue that you blokes were stuck in a cave, and management reached out and they said, Chris, can you modernise our show? I said, sure, no problem. So I came in there, Duke had his anger management issues. Obviously, you were regarded as the most awkward man in media at that time, mate.
Still
they said, can you come in here? Howard's not eating. He's on the boundary line. He needs some confidence. And I came in to help. And that's what I did, and that's what I'm still doing, Nathan, in short.
You are a helper, Juddy, and you put on community events like Judge Chella just to endear you to the people. And have we got another one of those in the wings or not?
I don't think so, Duke. You know, that was sort of the top of the market, Judge Chella, in hindsight. And I feel the economic gods frowned upon that in the end. So we're tightening the belt. And not another Judge Chella in the plan, but you never say never, Duke.
Hey, do you miss this on a Friday night these days, Juddy?
I have missed you a lot, Purple. Yes, you in particular. but tune in regularly and listen to Nate's top five and the various other segments that are going from strength to strength.
He's got no idea.
We haven't replaced Judge Juddy for good reason. In fact, I think we've expunged a lot of its content from the collection.
It's deleted
the collection.
From the server. Yeah. That
never happened.
That particular segment. Hey, mate, in all seriousness, congratulations. I did read a dispatch that your young bloke made a very startling move in the world
Little
of
Oscar.
Cricket. He's on the way to the IPL, from what I can tell, Juddy. Did he make the primary school cricket team?
Thank you, Howie. He did make the state team, which he's pumped about. So we're all very excited about that. They're playing in Darwin in about a week or so. So he's been training really hard and he can't wait to get into it. So that was a huge effort.
Yeah, huge effort, given the counselling he had to receive after last time we were at your house, I believe, and he probably was witness to stuff that he shouldn't have seen young Oscar. So I'm glad to see that he's got himself back after that, John.
They learn nothing from winning the kids. I'll be clear on that, Duke.
Is he still into his rap, Juddy, before we move off him?
He doesn't mind the rap, but his mum's not a huge fan of the rap, so we haven't been listening to it too much of late.
drafted you into our dodgeball team, Judge. Yep. Now, the shoulders, used to tape them up, I thought, for looks, but how are you going to go in dodgeball for us?
Well, greatness finds a way, you know, at the end of the day. I mean, will I be up against it? Sure. Will I improvise? Will I dodge, dip, dive, duck and dodge? Sure. Of course I will. And I'm feeling good about it, mate. I'm looking forward to it.
Given Cooper Cronk was really best on ground in the 2018 NRL Grand Final with on arm, Juddy, we're expecting big things from you.
Well, pressure's a privilege, Dan. I'm not shying away from that. And it's a huge privilege that Duke's bestowed on me, putting him in his team. It makes sense. And I'm ready to deliver, Duke.
Well, I miss it, isn't it? You know, feedback's a gift. Pressure's a privilege. Yeah, it's, he shares wisdom, the Judd, man.
The data. Always got the data too, does
he? Shitty one line. He just rolls out and he's got out of like some calendar somewhere, yeah. Juddy.
Hey, Judge, I used to come in on a Friday night and I used to always ask you, what are the markets doing? Housing market, is it going to come down? How's Elong doing? Can you just give us a quick synopsis of where the world markets are at the moment?
I'd say they're suboptimal, no. Yeah, sure. Look, I think we touched on this last time in my guest appearance on the huddle. I think those comments have aged pretty well, but times are tough. Debt ceiling's big in the US, credit crunch happening in the banks. So I think the next few months are going to be tough, but I think the only thing that's I can feel me losing the viewers already. The only thing that's going to stop depositors leaving and moving to money market funds is if the US crunch rates down. So I think that'll be happening before the end of the year. And then we'll be back to party time.
Crypto. Judd, man, I don't think we've lost anyone because we're all dialed in all of a sudden. Everyone's feeling a little nervous. The state budget, what did you make of that here in Victoria?
Oh, look at the Duke just trying to sink the slipper into Dan Andrews. Any opportunity. Was it a poor budget? Of course it was. Are we broke? Yes. But I'm not going to be slinking the slipper in like you are, Duke.
Okay. And how many properties apply to that new tax, Judgy? Judd, from you. How many properties have you got that now are going to be hit by that new tax?
Well, I've got a few, but it's going to be hard for renters. So that, no, and it is. That's, you know, that's the end result of all this. So there's a cost to printing free money and spending too much, and we're going to be paying it for a little while, unfortunately.
The Navy Blues, Judge, how are you seeing it?
Had a rough month, haven't they? Such a counter-attack. I mean, I don't watch footy as closely as you guys are used to, but it is such a counter-attack game now, anytime I watch, and it's just wildly quick. And, there's teams that are doing it probably better than us at the minute. So good chance today with the Sydney backs out to give the Tools a chance. But, the game's just moves in a direction that's challenging for the Baggers.
How would you go in the modern game, Judge?
Oh, let's not turn this into about me, Howard. It's not about me. It's about...
But how would you go?
Oh, well, you're doing the dots. You know?
So, I don't feel we can let the jug man go.
Go on, Duke.
I know he's about to hit the town in Sydney, but I don't feel I can go with that. Just asking how the landscape gardening team are going down the Mornington Peninsula. You had a few dramas down there with some backburning a while ago, Juddy, all under control.
Look, I mean, there's been no bushfires near that property. And was it heroic what I did to save the neighbours? Maybe it was. You know, but there was a health and safety issue and someone had to step up and sort it out. And that's what I did, Duke.
We quickly got our heads together and we just rattled off 43 favourite moments we've got of you. And we just couldn't let you go without at least one of those 43, yep. Judge. I remember asking you during the first year of COVID about the future of Eddie Betts one night and it went this way.
You've given me reason, though, to ask subsequent questions about Eddie Betts right now, though.
I've given you reasons?
Yeah.
Well, whoop-de-doop.
He's finished with whoop-de-doop.
And that was the end, Howie. That's from what I remember. That was it.
That was it.
He sacked himself live on Footy Classified. He's no good in front of the camera. And then he realised that radio wasn't his go either. Judge, it's been a treat to chat with you. We'll see you on Tuesday night to take on the Jules Lund All-Stars. We can't wait to see you, mate. And as always, it's lovely to chat with you, great man.
Very much looking forward to it, gents. Great to chat.
Thanks, Judd, man.
The great Chris Judd, who's just...
I'm missing.
He's unique.
One of the most extraordinary people I've ever met, Howie. No doubt about that.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
Hot water needs replacing? Go for one. That's steady, hot and strong. It's Australia's favourite water heater. You know who we're talking about. It's built tough for Aussie conditions and manufacturing right here in Australia. Over 80 years, they've been dominating when it comes to water heating. Ask your plumber to install a ream. Nate's top five not too far away on the Friday huddle. Aaron Hamill to join us shortly from the Blues, but it is now time for...
Howie's Hot Topics.
I'll start with you, Skip, because I know you've spent a lot of time researching this during the week.
All over this, Howie, I would assume.
The Reserve Bank, Philip Lowe, he predicted some time back that interest rates were going to stay pretty low. Be fair to say, Damo, and since then...
Before COVID, he said they wouldn't be raised even 0.25% until 2024, and has since raised it 9 times?
Yes.
Sometimes by 0.5%.
So it's making the average mortgage go up, etc. And it's we just had record debt announced here in Victoria. I think we're paying $16 million in interest a day. Over $1 billion a year interest alone.
$8 billion for the year.
Extraordinary. Interest. Extraordinary numbers. However, the Premier of Victoria.
Your mate.
alluded to the fact that it wasn't possibly all the government's fault. It was linked to what had happened at the Reserve Bank.
Ahead of a horror state budget, the Premier blamed the Reserve Bank for urging families and his government to borrow.
I well remember at National Cabinet being told, you know, go and borrow. If you don't borrow, then we're going to have 25% unemployment. We're not going to get through this. We will not survive this.
So the debt repayment is $5.6 billion a year in interest. So just think you've got your own mortgage, you're paying $5.6 billion a year, which is what we in the state of Victoria are paying. The Premier went on to allude, it was reported to us, that it was the Reserve Bank's fault.
And I think absolutely fair from the Premier, if you're a four-year-old, and like you do, you teach your kids when they're four or five and you say to them, you know, did you take, you know, that out of the fridge? And they say, no, it was my brother who did it. My older brother told me to do it. And you go... No, what you do is you actually take responsibility. When you're four, you learn to take accountability and you go, you don't blame someone else, Howie. You put your hand up, particularly when you have a Treasury Department surrounded by economists whose job is to explain to you that those things do change.
Now,
you have those levers at your discretion, Howie. So I think I totally understand if you had the maturity of a toddler.
That would be fair.
I appreciate your opinion, but it's a hot topic. But obviously, okay, you've got an axe to grind with
everything that's going on. I go across to my chief economist.
Is it a worthwhile excuse?
I'm with Duke. I won't belittle him and call him a four-year-old.
I didn't belittle anyone, Nate.
They're saying a fifth of it was due to COVID, which is about $33 billion. So the debt's $165 billion. So there's $130 billion elsewhere of blowouts that he can't account for. Mm. So we're in a real issue at the moment.
Maybe you should have said no to a few of those checks in the government. We wouldn't have such an issue.
Well,
put a little bit back in, mate.
We've got a couple. We're there to take, Howard.
Damo, do you have a varying different opinion or not?
It's similar in tone and theme in that ripping up that $2.1 billion contract or whatever it was to do the East-West Link just because it didn't suit his plan. And then as we read on the front page of the Herald Sun today, other various rorting going on inside the big build that we've got going on. I reckon there is mainly where the problems are, Howie, as opposed to
so many investigations into rorting, isn't there?
Mm.
A lot of them.
And we never get an outcome, do we? No. It all just goes away.
And for all the people that sent me messages last week after Chief strafed Kevin Rudd, I'm not affiliated with either party. I'm a swinging voter, so I'm not anti either. But, yeah, thanks for your messages. People get fired up about politics.
Likewise here, Howie. And the $200 billion train to nowhere is an interesting one as well.
We're moving on from that. Richmond are looking for a senior coach, Damo.
Yep.
Choose one coach that is currently not coaching an AFL team to take over Richmond next year, if it's not Andrew McWalter who goes and fills the position.
What I'll do in this space right here today for us, Howie, just look, we know the usual suspects who will get interviewed, and we know the people who are out there who've got the profile. What I will tell you at the outset is that there are massive raps on two players, ex-players, who haven't got a lot of fanfare recently. And one is Troy Chaplin, who is currently at Melbourne and is thought of very, very highly and was key to what the Demons did in 2021 and before and beyond. And also Sean Grigg. May not quite be ready for it just yet, but very valued.
So who are you going with, Damo? Who are you going with? You're Brendan Gale. You've got the coach next year. Can't be a current coach. You are appointing Damo.
No, just on that, Howie. It's not simple because I go back to what Luke Darcy actually did in 2014 when no one in the world knew Luke Beveridge was going to be coach of Melbourne. Mm-hmm. No one knew Collingwood was going to appoint Craig McRae. There's no point anyone in media trying to tell anyone. Put my hand up.
Nathan,
who are you going with?
I worked with Ross Lyon for 3 years, and he couldn't have spoken any higher about Andrew McWalter. Now, he is a smart man, Ross Lyon, and he said when he was going back, if he did get a job, he wanted Andrew McWalter to come with him. The reason why he didn't come back is he's contracted this year to Richmond, so that's the only reason he wasn't back at St Kilda. But Ross Lyon was super keen to have
him. So the interim coach
said
gets the gig.
He is as smart as anybody in the AFL landscape, and if Ross Lyon says that and he wanted him as his 2IC, then why not Andrew McWalter?
It's taken a long time to get to one name, Darce. Give me another one.
Daniel Gian Siracusa is going to be an outstanding senior coach, Howie, and I would be having a very, very strong conversation with that man.
We saw a football stout last night, Wednesday night, Cameron Mooney taking on Tom Bell Chambers. Nate, I'll start with you. Choose one person in the football industry of a similar weight division to you.
James Brayshaw.
You haven't let me finish. That you think you could go into a ring and
box with him most Tuesdays.
So you think you could take JB?
Absolutely. One hand tied behind my back.
Oh, right. He tells us he's got craft.
No. No. No, he hasn't. He's a bit sloppy.
Righto. So you'd take JB.
Comfortable.
Damo, choose one person that you think you could beat in the ring of a similar weight division in football.
I'd take TJ.
Oh, is he in your weight division?
I think he's about 20 heavier than you.
Is he?
Didn't stop me.
That's a flippant answer. Was anyone a bit uneasy about it, that?
Yeah, I was.
I was really uneasy. Yeah, and even answering the question, that's why I answered it flippantly.
You answered it as Tony Jones.
No, I didn't.
You actually answered it in your eye.
I was interested in it, but watching it and then making sure I watched it a few times since, it just didn't sit right.
Because Big Moons is a ripping guy. And it's always when you see a boxing match and you see a heavyweight go out. Yeah. Immediately I just feel empathy straight away, Howie. And Moons was doing that as a 44-year-old.
Courageous, both of them.
To get into the square circle and do that. Admiration. But I'm a bit with Damo. It's a bit like when I saw Barry Hall in his last fight. It's like, I'm disappointed.
Right, so who are you fighting?
Yeah, so who are you fighting?
Cover?
Similar weight division, who are you going in the ring with?
Damo, I would have thought Jared Waitley and Damo is the fight that I wanted to see personally. But
you and Richard?
I had a great
rivalry with Matty Primus. Now, the big mattress. And I suspect it mightn't end well for me.
Right.
But we, and you know, you get to meet Matty after. If we played in the same team, we'd be great mates. And I love catching up with him still. But I always, if it was in the playing era and you said to him, you get to choose one, I would have 100%.
Primus it is.
What about you, Howard?
Hutto.
Oh, I've been told to take a break. We're only halfway through the topics.
You're 47 kilos. Hutto's 35.
I could take Hutto.
Brayshaw's a bit better than what I said, too.
The cover off at the end.
We're taking a break. Is Aaron Hamill next, or are we? He's not too far away. There's some more hot topics. I got more left, but we've run out of time, apparently. So we've got top five coming up as well. That'll be good.
I think I'd be in trouble with Matty Primus. I reckon
a big man.
And you reckon you'd take TJ?
No, I don't reckon I'd take TJ. I answered it deliberately, flippantly.
100%.
All right. For Ream Hot Water at McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy. McDonald's and Ream Hot Water, Triple M rocks footy. Nate was declaring he had this segment and then just started backing out the door, really lacking confidence in what he's brought. So it's been scuppered in the outbreak to us.
Which is Nate.
We're playing dodgeball and the Big Nose producer gave me all these clips and he said, can you put something together for the boys that all off Ben Stiller quote. So I had something for each of you, but I'm not sure it's that strong.
Hey, what we did get this week was a pump up from the heavyweight champion of the world, Tyson Fury.
Hi, this is Tyson Fury, a.k.a. the Gypsy King, heavyweight champion of the world. This is a message for the Triple M boys. You know, I hear you are playing your game of dodgeball very, very soon. And what I like to do to get myself psyched up and ready for a big fight is listen to Sex on Fire. So you guys need to do exactly the same. Peace out.
Peace out indeed. That was recorded at the same hotel. That is the song. This used to be the King. Warner used to love this song. He was big on this song. I don't know if you've seen
one of the great songs.
If you've seen him walk out, the way he walks out, he brings sizzle this man.
So I hadn't seen that. I think along with that photo you sent me, I think you sent me the link to that as well.
Tyson Fury walking out.
93,000 at Wembley Stadium. That puts hairs standing up on the back of your neck stuff.
You want me to run with a couple?
We'll stick to hot topics. There's a few hot topics. Hey, I've discovered what I can only describe as. I think we're all getting ripped off in the community, and this is a follow-on from Hot Topics.
Is this Dan Andrews' fault as well?
No, this is not Dan Andrews' fault. I don't want to blame anyone here, but I was washing my hair yesterday, as you do, and I started reading what my shampoo and conditioner claimed to have in it does. So my shampoo had a mixture of potent aloe, not your normal aloe, potent aloe.
That'd be aloe, wouldn't it?
I don't know. I don't know, aloe. Yes. Mm. And Manuka honey.
Manuka
honey.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's not the oval? This is my point.
It's not the suburb. Like,
and then my conditioner has got white grapefruit and mint in it. Now, I'm starting to think, what does this do for my hair? I have a look on the back that the Real Botanicals, endorsed by a world-leading authority in plant science, the Royal Botanic Gardens of Kew, have endorsed my conditioner.
Of Kew.
It led me to think that they're just throwing ingredients in, Nate, that have no relative sense to what's happening to your hair. And I know this is a topic that you're concerned about in the past. So, hot topic, what ridiculous...
So, I took a photo of mine because you asked me to.
What have you got in yours?
Purified water.
Okay,
so that's not even just water, but avocado oil.
So, what does that do?
Grapesoid oil.
Finasteride.
Soy. Jojoba oil, sea salt. Has sea salt in mine, and also peppermint and cedarwood. They've got some cedarwood in there.
Avocado amazing, oil, Damo. What's in yours?
Yeah, I screenshotted mine too. I got rice protein.
Rice in mine. It's to wash your
with
hair.
Pineapple, mango, and papaya extract. And there's also another example here: aloe barbadamesis.
Which is what's that?
Leaf juice.
Leaf juice.
Yeah.
Dust, what do you got in yours?
Well, I just sent Beck a text and said, can you take a photo of our shampoo bottle, which got a strange response from her.
Because you hadn't done any preparation.
Hadn't done my homework.
Pomegranate. Do you share shampoo?
Pomegranate.
Pomegranate, yeah. Yep. Should I have a male version?
Oh, no, but it's interesting.
Yeah. Pomegranate.
pomegranate, coconut, mango, sunflower.
You don't eat this stuff. You wash your hair with it.
Mm. This isn't your best hot topic.
Well, no, I just think it's a con.
We can the top five.
I think it's a con. Tina Turner, unfortunately, passed away, Damien. Loved by many people. What's your favourite Tina Turner song?
It's not the one that a lot of people go for, but I love What You Get Is What You See.
Nice.
Absolutely love it. And she played it at one of the NRL grand finals too.
She did?
Yep.
We don't need another hero.
I'll be on Thunder Day.
Yep.
Simply the best. Is that the title of the song? That was the NRL promo.
Yep.
One of the great promos of all time that was Tina Turner and the NRL. Launched the NRL.
For me, Nutbush City Limits. Absolutely.
Do you do the Nutbush share?
You would do, wouldn't you?
No.
Could you do
it? No. I got one more for you.
There you do it.
This is an important one. Massive 6-8 weeks coming up for Australian cricket, Damo. So I'm going to start with you. We've got the World Test Championship.
Yep.
Australia versus India in a very short period of time.
So this is just for the one-off test or the Ashes? Or
no, this is a one-off test.
The one-off first one.
The first test. So we've got to get six tests away. So you've got a fast bowling cartel.
Yep.
I don't think they can all get through six tests. So you're going to have to choose who you're going with, when you're going with. Who is your Australian bowling attack, Damo, for the World Test Championship?
Well, Cummins writes his own ticket for obvious reasons.
Captain?
I've, though, got Boland ahead of Hazelwood.
Boland ahead of Hazelwood.
Stark in there. And obviously Lyon.
And Lyon.
Yeah. So I'm leaving the Kuhneman out.
Okay.
And I'm leaving Murphy out.
Okay. So you've got Cummins, Boland, Stark, and Lyon.
Yep.
Hazelwood, a bit of an issue with the side. So a bit of an injury concern.
Nathan. Hasn't bowled Test cricket since January, Hazelwood, so I don't think he'll play. But I've got Paddy Cummins. I've got Scott Boland. I think they're going to bring Michael Nesser in because they want some all-rounders, and he's been flying in the county, taking 19 wickets at 25. So they've pulled him out of the county, so he's now in the squad. Cameron Green, so Nesser and Green, both all-rounders, and then Nathan Lyon. So I've gone in with five bowlers, but two of those are all-rounders. I couldn't find Mitchell Stark in there.
No Mitchell Stark.
He's a white ball bowler.
You've got to play Mitchell Stark. Got to play Pat Cummings. And you've got to play Josh Hayward. If he's anywhere near, this is the World Test Championship.
He's not
his
fit.
Record, that wasn't a caveat. I mean, if he's not fit, he doesn't bowl. But if he's anywhere near.
So you're going with the big three.
Got to go with the big three. The ones that have got it done over. And Nathan Lyon's got to be the fourth.
What are you doing, Howie? You're the expert these
days. I'm going Cummins and Stark.
Yep.
I'm keeping Hazelwood on ice because I want to see him play a full Ashes series. I'm going Lyon over Murphy, so I've got one spot, and I'm Boland, Nesser. I'm going Boland.
So you got my four?
Yeah. You're, no reason I'm going with Boland?
Because he's a good bowler?
And he's the next guest coming up on the Howie Games.
So you're not playing Cameron Green?
No, he's an all-rounder.
Met Scotty Boland the other day. Dropped into the Channel 7 commentary. Lovely guy.
Lovely fella. Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy. Enormous game for Sydney and Carlton tonight at the SCG. Always a treat to chat with anyone involved from Clubland the night of the game. And this man, he's a dominant player for the Blues and a much-loved figure around Melbourne. His name is Aaron Hamill. He joins us on the Friday Huddle. Mark Howard here. Aaron, good evening to you. How are you, great man?
Howie, thanks for having me. How are we?
Great to speak to you. The sub has been named for those just tuning in. Who's the sub?
We got Ed Curnow as our sub, mate. So hopefully when Ed, if and when we need him, he'll come on and give us a fair bit of grunt in the midfield.
Hey, Sammy, always hard at the selection table when you leave out someone like Jack Silvani, who's much loved by the Carlton community. What's he need to do to make sure that he's a regular?
Yeah, it's a good question to ask. He actually played down back here at against the Swans VFL and did really well down back for a full game, which was pleasing. So that's where we want to try Jack down back for a little bit. We know we can play forward, second ruck when need be. But look, what we've been doing in front of the ball hasn't been working. So we don't want to keep doing the same thing. Tom De Conning, and unfortunately Soss goes out. But the bigger picture for us is how can we keep utilising Jack, and we feel that he can add a little bit to our defence as well with, he's quite serviceable by foot, and we know that he can compete and he understands team system. So Jack went back and had some really good minutes in defence, so it's looking positive. But we know he can play forward as well, but we just need to change the mix-up.
A lot's been made of Harry Mackay's goal kicking, Sammy, but last week kicked two goals too, but every one he had a set shot, even from the left foot closest to the boundary line, and they were really good kicks too, so he looks like he's changed his method, has he?
I think, Brownie, when he needs to, clearly like last week, when he's that 40-plus out, I think he'll stick to the drop punt. I mean, most of us stay out of his way during the week. He works with Ash Hansen. And the last thing that he needs is everyone in his ear. So he's got a routine now that he found that he works. He's a very reliable kick. He's a great field kick. So he should be, in theory, a really good goal kick. So he's gone back and worked on that. And you'd have to say it was a win for us, the team, and him mentally getting over that. So hopefully that continues.
Aaron, tell him De Koning, you mentioned him before, that there's a lot of talk around him, a lot of clubs interested in what he does in the future. Obviously, you're more keen on what he does tonight and the rest of the year. Where do you see him playing best? And if you're able to, before this game starts, tell us where he might play tonight.
Yeah, sometimes it's just opportunity as well, Damo. When Pitto was out last year, he had a really good 6 to 8 week block as number one ruck. And I'm really bullish on Tom. He's got a lot to offer. He's still quite young in terms of what he can offer on the table from an AFL footballer's perspective, but let alone that ruck position where we know they mature quite late. So I think if he can pinch hit in the ruck, obviously with Pitto, that forward position and give us something really decent to kick to, and then it allows Harry and Charlie to work up the ground a little bit further. But we've got at least something decent to kick to in front of the ball. So I've seen him play some outstanding forward games. His follow-up, his tap work in the ruck's only going to get better. So he's certainly got a promising future, and hopefully tonight's another step forward.
Aaron, we appreciate your time. Good luck to you and the Navy Blues tonight at the SCG.
Thanks, gents. Appreciate it.
Aaron Hamill joining us, I always. As soon as I wake up on a Friday morning, jump on the AFL website to read Sliding Doors, your outstanding column, Damo. And to paraphrase you, you're basically saying that you felt that Carlton wasn't as excited about De Koning as potential other suitors were excited about.
But based on him missing the last two games of last year, Howie, it was an emergency in those two epic games they played and lost to, I think it was Melbourne and Collingwood, wasn't it, the last game? And then he's also played VFL this year. It's not the sort of form line and trajectory of someone who is causing a lot of interest in a lot of footy clubs. Sydney Swans are really interested. St Kilda's interested. It's just an observation, Howie. I don't feel they've got Sam De Koning type potential. He's nearly 24. He's older than Sam, obviously, and has yet to find a regular spot.
He's a ripper, Tom De Koning. I just love him. I know he's got some upside, Damo, and has maybe a few injuries to battle with. But that age, you know, he's a different player, very different player to his younger brother.
Where would you play him?
Ruck forward. Yeah, I think
you wouldn't go throw him down enough back. Like worked for Sam.
It's so hard to get someone that can play ruck forward and compete, and he's got that athletic ability. I think when he gets 12 months of consistent health, look out. He's got a lot to like Tom De Koning. I'd be staggered if Carlton weren't doing everything they could to keep him.
It strange that they signed up Pitnet for 4 years, a four-year contract for Pitnet. I thought that was too long.
Same management firm too. And again, you can read a lot into that. You don't necessarily need to read anything into it. But I did read a bit into it, yeah. And look, the money that Pitnet has got to stay is not near the zone that De Koning will get. But also too, Brownie, as we know with these cases, there's always a go price and a stay price, and the go price for De Koning is going to be a whole lot more than the stay price at Carlton.
I'm just seeing Chief on Fox Footy, just don't look happy. I don't know. Words filtered through about what you all spoke about in the first segment, but he just looks a little bit testy.
That's his resting look. Let's be honest.
Not
change.
When he's interviewing Hollywood starlets, though. Well, then he's full of vim and vigor.
Big time.
Any other news floating around, Damo?
Yeah, we might just take a listen to. Okay. Have we got time?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, to what Brendan Gale actually said as part of a longer interview on Footy Classified on Wednesday about his own future. Now, he was very clever in how he answered it, and he's got a big job right now, and that is, to use his phrase, find the next Damien Hardwick and how that looks. And there's a long runway now, and I expect him to stay at Richmond for the remainder of this season. But beyond that, the lure of the AFL job is there. And just take a listen to this and see what you think yourselves.
You know, I think football's in great shape. I think we're on the cusp of a brilliant future. I just think it can be a whole lot better. And I think the elite form of the game is the biggest lever of the game in terms of, you know, driving wealth and the way we project our brand nationally and football grassroots and community level. That's all that matters. And so we're doing some wonderful stuff, and I think we can be a whole lot better.
Brendan Gale there. He's been there since 2009, Darcy. He obviously was as key as anyone when it came to the transformation of the Richmond Footy Club, the public revelation, Brownie, of the quest for, as it was at the time, 75,000 members, multiple premierships. He sharpened that footy club up. It's been a long time he's been there.
great relationship with the new CEO of the AFL in Andrew Dillon, and I just feel there's going to be an overarching football operations role that will be his if he wants it. He's got a big task in the time between now and then potentially to find a new coach.
What another great appointment that would be, Brown. I know you. Did you play with Benny? Did you cross over with?
No, owned a pub with him. But
great person.
If I'm the new Richmond coach coming in, I want to know that there's stability above because that's what there, made Richmond. So when I was there, it was a mess. And then Ben Gale came in, Peggy, and they just got the job done right. Neil Balm was there as well. So are all those people going to be there? Probably not. So if I'm the coach, I'm going, I need some good people above me.
I think the AFL lure is huge with Tasmania coming in as a proud Tasmanian. And you think someone from Clubland to come into the executive team, another person from Clubland would be very suitable.
Can't speak for all clubs, but most clubs I speak to would be desperate to have Brendan Gale in that position.
For Ream Hot Water at McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Triple M Friday Huddle for McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. It is time for the biggest rating segment on the show, the one that gets the biggest build-up. It is time for Nate's Top 5.
He's a self-proclaimed footy superstar.
I reckon I was probably the most influential player in the AFL.
He fears nothing and no one.
This is all off-air stuff that you're not allowed to talk about on air, but I've gone with it anyway. Yeah.
And he sees the world a little differently.
Just watching a Komodo dragon eat a monkey.
This is Nathan Brown's Top 5.
So when I started researching this week, the Damien Hardwick thing was a big shock. I don't think anybody saw that coming.
Tommy
so
Morris
when did. I'm sitting there going, you know, what are the things that have shocked? What sort of sat you on your backside and thought, I didn't see that coming? So the top five started out as things I didn't see coming. And so then I started to think of shock tactics in AFL, and I was looking at around the AFL and there wasn't much there. So
big build up.
So then everything that kept coming up was about the English Premier League. So then I started to read about some of the things that have happened in the English Premier League that have shocked people. And they are so far putting the AFL boys to shame, it's not funny.
I'm like confused,
the AFL
Nate.
Boys.
So what's your top five?
The top five is...
what is this?
The top
I think
five
we should go back to
the
Sheffield.
The top five is Howard.
I hope
we're on air, Brownie.
How much looser the EPL are than the AFL boys. So the AFL boys, the AFL boys are choir boys compared to this. So this is how I got there. It was a long way around.
The English,
but I'm going to take you back to 1999 and Liverpool up against Everton and Robbie Fowler, right? So the Everton crowd and the Everton people, there was a rumour going around that Robbie liked the nightlife and he might have been partaking in a little bit of
extracurricular
substance. Yeah.
Okay.
So Robbie Fowler scored this day against Everton and he got on his hands and knees and crawled along the line and pretended to snort the line. So that, imagine, I want you to picture these things happening in AFL and imagine what would go on in the papers, in the media, us talking about them. So that's one.
That was
that's the number five.
That's number five.
Five loosest.
What? Loosest things done in the EPL.
Just compared to AFL. Yep. So here's number four. Now, Wayne Shaw.
No, I'm with him. I like it.
Shaw is a Sutton United reserve goalkeeper.
Sure.
Now, in here, we had Tyson Goldsack, who had $5 bet on the grand final, kicked the first goal. We've had a couple of other little bets. There hasn't been a lot of gambling.
Jaden Stevens had to kick three in one.
He backed himself, and he kicked the barrel from 60, but he only had $15 on it.
Okay. What's Shaw he do?
Wayne Shaw, in the FA Cup, he was the reserve goalkeeper and he was seen eating a pie during the clash with Arsenal, which they found strange on the coverage. They're going, Wayne, what, he has to come on? He's eating a pie. However, it was later revealed that a betting company were offering odds of 8 to 1 for Shaw to be caught eating a pie on camera. Shaw had tucked into the pie and also the odds and was duly sacked after that.
How much did he back himself with the pie?
He had £2,000 on it.
Right.
He just didn't think he was going to get caught, Howard.
That was number four.
That was number four.
On the reserve keeper eating a pie.
Of the list of English soccer players being looser than AFL.
Ashley Cole. Imagine this happening in the AFL.
Coley.
Ashley Cole shot and wounded a 21-year-old work experience kid who was at Chelsea at training. He just imagined he thought he'd bring an air rifle to training.
Shot.
A .22 caliber air rifle, and he fired at the student whose name was Tom Cowan.
What did Tommy do?
There was no suspension, not even a fine, just an apology. He bought an air rifle and shot somebody at training.
What did Tom do?
I don't know what he did. It didn't say what he did.
Cole was a good player. Okay. That's okay.
He shot him with an air rifle.
It was a simpler time, wasn't it, back then?
Now, we've come to number two. And
number two what? You just explain to me again.
Number two.
EPL players being looser than AFL.
Different to AFL.
Right.
AFL boys are choir boys.
Okay.
Mark Bosnich, the great Australian. Oh, so yeah. Is this the biggest week in football? So Bozza, he signed for Manchester United. So that's like signing for Collingwood in a deal rumoured to be worth $7 million. He was celebrating his stag night at the Legs 11 nightclub. This was the night before his wedding. He allegedly robbed a cameraman because he wasn't happy some of the images of his last hours of being a bachelor that might be broadcast. Mm. He was arrested at 7 a.m. on the day of his wedding, and Bozza was later released so he could get married. He was late, an hour late to his wedding, and understandably, the marriage didn't last too long. So that's Bozza. So now we come to Eric Cantona. This is number one. This is against Crystal Palace. So you all know the story. He jumped into the crowd and he kung fu kicked.
Yes.
But he was given a 2-week jail term, Eric Cantona, which was later reduced to 150 hours community service. I'll come back to that. But the man he kicked, you might know this story. His name was Matthew Simmons. Now, the defence when they went into court was that he was being racially vilified, Eric Cantona. So he said, go back to France, you French. Mm-mm. And then before he called him a French animal and he went on to talk about his mother. So that was their defence. So he was handed a $500 fine for abusive behaviour and also received a year-long stadium ban. Following the verdict, he jumped the table and went after the lawyer of Eric Cantona and decked him in the courtroom. So then he was put in jail for 2 weeks himself.
The fan.
But the funniest thing was then, obviously, the appeal for the 2-week jail term of Eric Cantona got overturned and it was just a community service. And Eric Cantona demanded that they have a press conference at Manchester United. They had a statement ready for him. And I'll translate this in a minute. But this was what Eric, this is the only Kung thing he Canada. Said at the press conference.
When the seagulls follow the trawler, it's because they think sardines will be thrown into the sea. Thank you.
That's all he's got.
That was the whole statement.
The seagulls trawler, sardines into the sea.
When seagulls follow the trawler, it is because the sardines will be thrown into the sea.
There you go.
And what's your take on that? Yeah. What was he... What was the cryptic message?
What would the
that
Shakers too? Say of that?
Not really sure. Not really sure.
I like this segment, but now I'm regretting telling you just not to use old audio. So I think you're stronger when you do that, as good as that was. Hey, you're talking about the craziness. Different segue, Damo, but a lot of talk this week about Steel Sidebottom. The Mason Cox story.
It's nearly as good.
To play 100 games
from
for
Texas.
A bloke that didn't know what the game was, come out here for a free trip, bought all the Herald Suns because him and his brother were in it as a photograph, couldn't kick, couldn't run, couldn't mark, and now is playing a good of footy as he's been in the career, Damo. I don't know there's many other stories like it.
No, it's right up there. And again, coming on the same weekend as someone who's doing something that only three players at Collingwood have done, that's reached 300 games. But I think it's and not to downplay Steel Sidebottom, but what he's done, it's not Jimmy Steins-esque because there's a Brownlow attached to Jimmy Steins, but it's
he's coming from
it's
further
in the
back.
Conversation, Damo, for
you
me.
You think it is, do you?
Yeah, he's coming from further back in a skill based sense than Jimmy Steins.
He didn't,
and I like him now,
and
too.
And hey? Kick a football.
I like him too.
Well, he brings sizzle.
Mason Cox.
That, that's
I
the
love
next boy.
The arrogance
he brings
that he
sizzle.
Comes with.
I do too.
The way that he just stepped over his opponent a couple of weeks ago, I think, which you called Juki, went back and missed the goal. But there's some genuine swagger which you don't get much. There's not too many characters in the game anymore.
None.
There's Tom Papley. There's a few others. There's no Loosh. There's no nothing like that. But Mason Cox is the closest thing we've got.
I remember when I saw him, Damo, first. I was, this is just a joke. You know, like seriously, 7-foot American. Yeah. What a gimmick that could be. To see what he's done. And we are a bit slow to celebrate. Who was the rugby player from Canada that won the
Mike
grand
Pike,
final?
Mike Pike.
Yeah. We didn't give Mike Pike enough love for his efforts either, I don't think.
But, and the fact that, like, if you talk to him, his eye injury where he couldn't leave home or get out of bed for an extended period of time and was worried about losing his sight, that's your next part of your movie, Damo, of the Mason Cox. So it's extraordinary.
Yeah, it is. And it's already been
I think they should make a movie.
Maybe Snorkel will.
It's been a 60 Minutes in the American 60 Minutes market story. So, yeah, and look, he's coming off a fortnight ago, which I think it was his most complete game. So game 98, he's still getting better. And we know what he did in the 2018 prelim final. We know what he did in the 2020 elimination final. We know he's had other big moments in big games. And yeah, it's and the whole Craig McRae dynamic too, the man who taught him to kick as an assistant coach when he first got to the Collingwood list and is now the man who saved his career last year when he came in as coach. As senior coach, yeah, there's beautiful layers to it.
Good luck to Steele, good luck to Mason, good luck to all your football teams. We unfortunately don't get to call this game. We have to hand it over to the team in the Sydney. And what a team it is. You got Brad Seymour and Brenton Speed.
Luffy.
Then one out in specials. You got Luffy.
Luffy.
With Tommy Brown Luffy on the boundary.
Still here. Still here, Spud.
Still here, standing.
That's a ripping lineup. How disappointed not to be up there.
We'll deal with the Chief next week. McDonald's and Remote Water. We'll really stick to the Chief next week, won't we? We going hard at the Chief
100%.
Next week?
I'm glad you sent that 100%.
Photo. We'll find out where you got that photo next week.
The special investigation.
Triple M Rocks Footy.
This is the Friday Huddle. Police reply quickly to texting drivers. A message from the TAC. For Remote Water and McDonald's, Triple M Rocks Footy.